We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. My buddy Brian Kilmeade's going to be along about 45 minutes from now, right around 4:15. Looking forward to chatting with him a little bit. You know, he's coming in for Politics and Pints tomorrow night down in Hopewell, so that'll be a great time. And, well, we've got Mike Dickinson, who's got a little bit to report on relative to, what was her name, Susanna Gibson? From Henrico, once again, Henrico has gone so far left. Remember, she ran for the House of Delegates, and she was doing porn on this. It was craziness. Anyway, he's got some updates on that. Now, it is always it's always an honor, always a pleasure to have the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth, Jason Biaris, with us. And today is one of those days. Thank you for being here.
Always great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Listen, the pleasure, I tell you, each time is mine. I love what you're doing up there. I have to ask you, as the Attorney General, just yesterday we had the Chief of Police in Henrico County, who's a good guy, but the Board of Supervisors now giving direction that says, here's a whole slew of crimes the police division just isn't even going to bother responding to anymore, and you put it together with their Commonwealth's attorney, who doesn't seem all that interested in prosecuting crimes. Is there anything that the AG can do to step in and keep people in Henrico safe?
You know, the General Assembly, we have more than once asked for more expansive power. The way it's supposed to work is we have about a dozen areas of the criminal code that we have original or concurrent jurisdictions that we can prosecute with or without the permission of the Commonwealth's attorney. Child pornography is one of them. But most of the code, the way it has been, it is when the local Commonwealth's attorney is asking for help, or, you know, we're prosecuting a cop killer case right now in Southwest Virginia for an office, another locality. This happens all the time where they ask us either second chair or assist them in part of a criminal investigation. It's very different. I don't think the drafters of the code ever anticipated you would have these social justice prosecutors that when they walk into a courtroom, they see two victims. They see the criminal victim defendant as also a victim, right? And they view the criminal defendant as a, quote, victim of the system, and they decide that the way to help, quote, unquote, the victim is just not to prosecute entire categories of the crime. This is a relatively new phenomenon, and it's been a disaster. Utter, complete disaster everywhere it's been tried. And what it turns into is a catch-and-release program. And, you know, what I point out is in Washington, D.C., that has tried a lot of these, you know, decriminalization and not prosecuting entire categories of crime, or essentially making sure there's just simply a slap on the wrist over and over again, that the average arrest record that for someone that's picked up on a first degree on a murder charge or charge on a murder charge in Washington, D.C. is 11 prior arrests. And so as a result, it has been this revolving door. And the reality is, study after study has shown that roughly 3 to 5% of felons commit over 50% of the violent crime. If you want to go after violent crime, you go after those repeat offenders. And one of the worst things you could do is just decide you're not going to prosecute entire categories of crime. And so it is as surely as the sun will rise, crime is going to go up in Henrico, citizens are going to be outraged, citizens are going to be wondering and seeking accountability from their elected officials, because this is the type of thing that you see that's great in theory, perhaps by some left-wing college professor, and that's when it's implemented. And I've said before, Joel, the one of the worst things you have in all of government is people, and I think this is what's happening in Enrico. They want to measure success by their intentions, not by their results, but by their intentions. And nobody in the private sector, nobody on a sports team, nobody in the military can get away telling their boss, well, these are my intentions. That's how I want you to measure success. It's only in government that we get politicians and get away with saying, no. Don't measure whether crime actually goes up. Don't measure whether we have more victims. Don't measure whether our quality of life is going down because of high crime. Just only I want you to measure on what I intend. I intend for a more, quote, equitable society. And I think it's outrageous. And I think citizens in Enrico should be calling out their elected officials that have voted or supported this type of measure.
Oh, absolutely. Attorney General Jason Meagher is joining us. What was so interesting to me as I was watching this, there was the report that the chief of police had to provide to the Board of Supervisors and provided to the community. You know, homicides are up, rapes are up, armed robberies are up, five-year highs in those categories. But here's a whole section of stuff we're just not even going to bother answering anymore. And I had a retired FBI agent on yesterday, Jason, who said, I mean, play it out. If you want to go down that road, then just don't answer any calls, right? Just pretend it's the ostrich theory. Put your head in the ground. Just pretend there's no crime going on. And you can have stats that say, well, we didn't have any crime at all. But man, is that far from the truth.
Yeah. I mean, what I always like to point to, and you see some of these social justice warrior catch and release prosecutors say, well, look, crime's actually gone down in my locality. Well, yeah, that's because you're refusing to prosecute entire categories of crime. When you're saying you're not going to prosecute carjackings or larceny-related crimes, yes, the actual number of crime convictions are going to go down in your district. That doesn't mean crime has gone away. That's but right. What I always tell reporters is they can't hide the bodies. That's the one thing they can't hide. Yeah. They can try to manipulate as many other stats as they want to, but when it comes to tragedy, that those that have lost their lives from crime, they can't hide those numbers. And that consistently shows where crime has continued to go up, are those particularly violent crime and homicides. And you're exactly right. That's what we've seen. It's the opposite. And here's the great irony of all this, Joel, is between 1992 and 2018, crime dropped in this country year after year after year after year. Why? Because we had the policies in place like truth in sentencing and parole abolition and going after repeat violent offenders and getting them off our streets, and crime went down. Because again, it's a small, small, small subset of violent criminals that can conduct and commit so much of the violent crime. When you get away from that, when you choose to, and they say the only thing people learn from history is nobody learns from history, people are ignoring it. And listen, everything these social justice warriors in Enrico and others are doing, they act like, you know, when scripture says there's nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
All of these policies were tried in the 1970s. Yeah. All of them were. Yeah. Early release of violent offenders, not prosecuting crimes, cashless bail. Those were all policies implemented in the 1970s in so many different areas around the country. It led to a crime explosion. You learned a lot of hard lessons, a lot of policy changes in the late 80s and early 90s that then led to this period of time where crime dropped year after year, and we have forgotten our history. We've forgotten those hard lessons. And so we're repeating the same mistakes over and over again. And so what we're going to see is in a couple of years, we're going to have these stories, and you're going to have probably new board members in Enrico saying we have to revisit this. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little bit, and this is what frustrates me, it's not like nobody's warning them of the New York Times expose about the COVID shutdown, showing that, yes, shutting down our schools did not stop the spread, and shutting down our schools had an absolutely devastating impact on our kids' learning. Yep. And they're acting like this is new information when we warned them over and over. I was in the General Assembly when we were trying to reopen the schools, and Northam was still governor. And we were treated with such unmitigated scorn by the legacy media, by those on the other side of the aisle, because now they wish it would go away and people have short memories. Right. But we warned them, and that's the other frustration. That was another example of measure success by our intentions, not by our results.
That's right.
And this reminds me, if everybody's warning the Enrico board, this is going to be a disaster, these are bad policies, and yet they're going to implement them anyway. And then, of course, a couple of years from now, they're going to be acting shocked. Well, we really had no idea. We just have no idea how we've had this high crime that has occurred. And it gets very, very frustrating to see the cycle repeat over and over again.
I can only imagine. I mean, in your position as Attorney General, I'll remind everybody, Jason Meares is joining us as the Attorney General, has served in the House of Delegates in the past.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Take a look at what we're seeing now, and give me your appraisal, because I know the AG's office had certain pieces of legislation you were hoping to get through in this particular session. Were you successful in any way, or has the left just advanced all of their ideas?
Well, you know, there were some areas of agreement, and I do want to, you know, I'm a glass half full as yeah. General, my general disposition, and so, you know, we had some wins this session, particularly in human trafficking.
Okay.
Both, you know, it was a big issue for me when we saw that Virginia's about 60% of human trafficking is sex trafficking, about 40% is labor trafficking. You know, a lot of it is and again, a lot of this I lay at the feet of the Biden administration's border policies. Mm-hmm. But the cartels and these others, they'll charge a king's ransom. The going rate is around 15 grand to get you over the border, and then you gotta have to quote unquote work it off, but the debt's never paid. It's like modern day slavery. Well, our state anti-human trafficking labor laws, we have good, you know, improved sex trafficking, anti-sex trafficking laws, but our labor laws are antiquated. And you know, there was a big human trafficking ring that was broken up in Williamsburg. It was a joint, really a great example of both our office, state and federal authorities all working together. But the case had to be brought in federal court because the federal anti-labor trafficking laws are so much stronger than what we had in Virginia. So, you know, we took a look at that. It was, I think, a big success. You know, worked really closely with members on both sides. And so, yeah, we got some good legislation that's been passed on that front on trafficking. But listen, obviously, you have two very, very different kind of world views right here. I mean, Governor Youngkin wants Virginians to be back to work. He wants to lower the tax burden, not increase the tax burden. I mean, think about it. Inflation yet again is rearing its ugly head. Cost of living is by far and away the number one issue of what causes people to move out of the state of Virginia.
Yep.
The governor has done tax relief, and now you have a Democratic budget that is trying to tax Virginians at a time when every time they go to the grocery store or fill up at the gas pump, it gets more and more expensive every week. So, you know, I think it just shows two very, very different priorities, different lanes. One wants to provide tax relief for working class Virginians. One wants to raise taxes. One wants to allow you to continue to pick which kind of car you drive. The other party wants to have an EV mandate where you have to, you know, the sticker, the average price of an electric vehicle in America today is $67,000.
Yep.
That's really out of reach for a lot of working class Virginians. It shows a real, real split of the world views. I know the governor will be negotiating diligently on the budget all the way up until, well, we'll see when they're able to get a deal.
It's
who knows?
It's so offensive. I mean, really, honest to goodness, for those of us who go to the supermarket two or three times a week to have somebody, whether it's in D.C. or some of the Virginia Democrats, say, you know, everything is fine. It's like, well, no, you know, my average
bill. Yeah, it is not.
It's 24% hey, higher at the supermarket.
I do a lot of the grocery shopping in my home because my wife is not, it's not a chore my wife enjoys, so I do it. And so I see it. Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, right? What the price of milk is and just basic staples. And so, yeah, that's the great thing. Washington, D.C. politicians can keep telling the American people that inflation's going away and the economy is great. They don't feel that way. They don't feel that way every time they have to go to the grocery store every Sunday. I'll tell you that.
I'll tell you something, Jason. The last time I went, I called Heidi. I called her on the phone, and I said, is this the right price? And then I went looking for one of the customer service people.
Yeah.
I said, I think you've got a typo. You know, somebody put the wrong number up here on eggs and milk. You know, these are about as basic the staples as you get. They're like, oh, no, you got us on a good day. It's like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy.
A good day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good day.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you know, I think you know, there are many of us out here really do appreciate what it is that you're doing. I know the One Pill Can Kill initiative has really been at the forefront of your efforts. Have you made some progress in that regard?
Yeah, we have. You know, we launched a great project. It was with First Lady Suzanne Yunkin. I really have to commend her. You know, a lot of that's not the easiest subject to tackle. You know, you're dealing with addiction and dealing with a lot of families that have lost loved ones. That's a hard subject, say, compared to like literacy or maybe some other projects First Ladies take on. She's really leaned into this. She's been a great partner. We've launched almost a separate, really targeted initiative in Roanoke, the city of Roanoke, which has one of the highest per capita rates. It only takes one. And so we've seen some really positive results, more to come. But it's a long slog, and what we try to tell every parent listening is, if you haven't had that conversation with your child, please do. You may not think it, but trust me, the single greatest influence over a child, whether or not they do drugs, is their parents. More than their friends, have that conversation with them, sit down with them, you know, go to One Pill Can Kill VA and maybe show them some of our information, but it only takes one pill to rob you of your life and your dreams.
No doubt about it. Jason, thank you for being here, my friend.
Great to be with you.
Check in again.
Absolutely.
That is Jason Meares, the Attorney General of our beloved Commonwealth. Listen, there are some people who are working hard every day. And you can look at some of the members of the House of Delegates, the State Senate, and say, gee, I think that person's okay or this person's not good or what have you. What I know, because I've seen them up close and personal, is that Governor Yunkin, Lieutenant Governor Sears, and Attorney General Jason Meares have just rolled up their sleeves since the first day that they took office. And they are working overtime. Governor Yunkin was with us the other day talking about his latest initiative. Again, it's all about the budget. You know as well as I do. Jason Meares was just talking about it. You go to the supermarket, there's no way to believe the garbage that's coming from D.C., the swamp dwellers, or the Virginia Democrats. Oh, everything is fine. The economy is great. Is it? I don't know. I'm looking at the cost of eggs. I don't even eat eggs. I don't like eggs. And there I am. I mean, they're up there. It's an outrageous price. Who's going to pay that? Well, apparently you're going to pay it if you want eggs. Milk. I don't drink milk. Half and half. Now, that's a crisis situation. The prices are up for everything. And the math came out. It's 24% higher now than when Joe Biden shuffled into office. Now, what does that tell you? Gasoline price. It's 47%. It is 47% increase. Gang, this is not working. And, you know, we'll be talking about that, obviously, tomorrow night at Politics and Pints. Boy, I'm hoping you're going to show up for it. It's going to be a barn burner, I'm telling you. It's going to be a great time. Have to be very careful, right? Like President Trump said, if the economy goes this direction and the auto industry is going to be a bloodbath. Oh, my God, he's calling for an armed rebellion. No, he's just talking about what's going to happen to the car industry. It's crazy how things get twisted. 350, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.